This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Barack Obama takes his message of change to heart and switches his positions on oil reserves, offshore drilling, and credentialing delegates from Michigan and Florida. And Bill Clinton says he is not a racist, while Hillary is set to stump for Obama starting Friday in Nevada. For more on this week's political news, we have Mary Frances Berry, a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. She's also the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. Also along with us, Robert Trainum, the D.C. bureau chief for the Comcast cable network CN8. Welcome, folks.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Let's start with this. Is he or isn't he for drilling and tapping into the oil reserves, that is? Barack Obama maneuvering around that issue with positions that keep on changing. This was Obama in June.
Now, believe me, if I thought there was any evidence at all that drilling could save people money who are struggling to fill up their gas tanks by this summer or this year or even the next few years, I would consider it. But it won't. And John McCain knows that.
And this is the Illinois senator on Monday.
We should sell 70 million barrels of oil from our strategic petroleum reserve for less expensive crude, which in the past has lowered gas prices within 2 weeks. Over the next 5 years, we should also lease more of the national petroleum reserve in Alaska for oil and gas production.
So, Mary, is this a shift or a flip-flop, and what does it indicate about his presidency?
It's a shift and a flip-flop, but it indicates that he's smart, because when you get facts that tell you you're wrong about something, and when the polls show that you have political problems for being wrong about something too, I mean, add those two together, it would be silly and not to change your mind based on the new information. And when he first took that position early, we talked about on this show about how for your ordinary American who's paying high gas prices, it might sound okay to say reducing the gas tax and no drilling and all the rest of that. What we just need is conservation and alternative fuels. But you've got to have a mix of things, and you've got to add something. And in fact, when Bush issued that repeal that executive order on drilling, some economists say that the OPEC nations reduced prices slightly because they thought the United States was getting ready to get serious about doing something. So he changed. Obama changed his mind, clearly, but he changed his mind in a way that made sense for himself politically.
What about that, Robert? Are the candidates supposed to respond to the will of the people in this way?
Well, of course they're supposed to respond to the will of the people. But to go back to your first question, Tony, you know, whether or not Senator Obama's smart or not, I don't know the answer to that. I think he's cunning. And here's why. It's because he came out a few months ago and said, you know what, we cannot drill more for oil. We can't drill our way out of this problem. And I'm quoting him. However, he's flip-flopped and he shifted his position based on the 75% of the American people out there. If you take a look at the latest Gallup poll that says, you know what, we need to drill now, even though I also understand that us drilling now does not open up or lower the gas prices in the immediate future. So what Senator Obama's doing is he's moving even more to the center. We saw this with Iraq. We're seeing it now in gas prices, and we also see it to a certain degree on his health care policy. What Senator Obama is recognizing is that in order to win the White House, he needs to appear much more centrist as opposed to a rabid left-wing liberal.
Now, and it's also something else, Tony, just quickly. When Obama did this, you asked what did this mean about how he what he might be like as president. When you're running for office, naturally, you have to respond to polls because you want to get elected. When you are in office, we all hope that a president would know what the polls were but would make decisions based on what they thought was best for the American people. Maybe that's being naive. Whether or not the polls. So we don't know what it says about his presidency, but it does say that he pays attention and that somebody on his staff or him knows what's going on with the public.
Well, so obviously, somebody knows what's going on with regard to the Democratic delegates in Michigan and Florida,
yes,
because Obama has changed his position on that as well, now supporting full voting rights for delegates from both of those states, and he opposed that when Hillary Clinton was saying the same thing. So does this mean that he really needs them, that these two states are in play for the general election, and is this a pander?
It means something else. And I and Roger Wilkins, one of his supporters, were the first ones to write and call for the DNC to seat those two states in the name of fairness. And Obama and his supporters opposed it mightily because he didn't want Hillary Clinton to get the votes. What it means is that now that he's won, and it doesn't cost him anything, and he wants those states. I mean, what does it cost him to say that they can all be seated and they can vote because there's nobody to vote for except him, and they are going to vote for him?
Well, Robert, does this mean that the Clinton supporters who have not yet fully come over to the Obama column will see this as another way to rethink their positions?
It's very possible, Tony. You know, another thing, Michigan has 157 delegates that are scheduled to go to the Democratic National Convention, and it's also very interesting and also politically inconvenient for Florida and for Michigan not to be fully seated, and here's why. Look, Senator Obama, although it looks like he may not win Michigan in the fall, he certainly wants to try to, it look like he's trying to win Michigan and obviously also Florida as well. He does not want to, this is a do-no-harm strategy, he does not want to alienate any more of his base, specifically in Michigan and Florida. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to have his cake and eat it too. And candidly speaking, I don't blame him. But it underscores my original point, Tony, is that he's shifting because he recognizes that in order to win the White House, you need that magic number of 270 electoral votes. Senator Obama is on record as saying that, you know what, this electoral map is changing. It's shifting now that I am the presumptive Democratic nominee. Florida, Colorado, Arizona, and so forth are now in play. Republicans are saying, you know what, I like the old traditional map, and if you take a look at John McCain's candidacy, if you take a look at his positions, and if you take a look at where he's sitting in the polls, he actually is doing pretty well in Michigan. He's also doing pretty well in Florida. So what Senator Obama is trying to do is he's trying to do no harm and saying, you know what, this is a win-win for me. If, in fact, I do seat, or if in fact, we do seat Michigan and Florida, this does nothing but help me in the general election.
Speaking of alienating and doing no harm, let's talk about another person whose name is Bill Clinton. On Monday, he appeared on ABC, his first broadcast interview since Hillary withdrew from the race. In that interview, he responded to criticism leveled against him during the primary campaign.
I got bad press. Why? Because I told the truth. That there was a different standard applied to the finest candidate I ever supported. There are things that I wish I'd urged her to do, things I wish I had said, things I wish I hadn't said. But I am not a racist. I never made a racist comment, and I didn't attack him personally.
Now, throughout the interview, Mary, Bill Clinton mentioned that he had thoughts about the campaign that he would not reveal until after the election. And my question to you is, what unexpressed thought could he possibly have left?
Well, I'm sure he's got some, and I have talked to him at great length when he came to Penn for a program we had there. And I know he has some thoughts about what went wrong and what went right. But let me just say this. I've known Bill Clinton since 1979 when Vernon Jordan brought him up to Camp David for a meeting with Jimmy Carter, and that was in the Carter administration. Bill Clinton may be a lot of things. You can talk about Monica Lewinsky or whatever you want to talk about, but Bill Clinton's not a racist. I mean, in fact, if Bill Clinton really could be a black man, he would be one, I think. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
He can't, but I mean, if he could be. But the best of black men. You know what I mean, guys.
Yeah.
In any case, he's not a racist. And when he said certain things during the campaign that were used against him, like saying Jesse won South Carolina, well, I had just finished being on a radio program saying that myself. I wouldn't even think about what that meant because I was in Jesse's campaign. And so he felt really hurt and thought that he would never recover from the attacks on him, because race and the One America initiative was one of the major things that he had as a centerpiece of his administration. So I think he was wounded, but he was hurt. He's also hurt because Hillary didn't win.
But he also appeared, Robert, he appeared to me to still be angry and still hurt. Is there an open wound between him, do you think, him and Obama?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. I mean, I agree with Mary. Bill Clinton is a lot of things. He also is very defensive. Obviously because his wife, who presumably he thought was the best person to run and win in the White House, was on the ballot. That's one. But also, two, which is an underlying thing in this whole ABC interview that no one really is talking about, how Bill Clinton was not forthright in his praise for Senator Obama, how he was not freely talking about the Obama candidacy and how transformational it is on the surface, and how he believes that Senator Obama would be the next best president of the United States right behind his wife. In other words, Tony and Mary, he could have said some things. For example, he could have said, you know what, my wife Hillary Clinton was the best person that was running for the White House, but guess what, she didn't make it to the finish line, so I'm putting my full support behind Senator Obama because he is the second best person to run for the White House. He didn't say that, and that is an underlying point, is that there literally is this wound between the Obama and Clinton campaigns that has yet to heal. And when President Clinton goes out and says some of the things that he says, or doesn't say some of the things that he says, that adds just salt into the wound.
Well, Mary, let me put to you the question about wounds possibly between Hillary and Obama, especially given the fact that she's beginning to go out alone on the stump for him starting in Las Vegas on Friday.
Well, I think that Senator Clinton has acknowledged and accepted that she lost. There were a lot of things that happened during the campaign. For example, words she took said that were taken out of context in her opinion. I happen to agree with her on that one thing about the when Lyndon Johnson had to sign the Civil Rights Bill, because he did have to sign the Civil Rights Bill, things like that. But I think that, and she, of course, her campaign wasn't run as well as it should have been, and she was the one who picked the campaign manager, so it's her fault. Mm-hmm. So that I think she's accepted all that, reconciled herself to all that, and feels like she is a Democrat, and she wants the Democrats to win, and that she can do no less than to be seen as going all out to help Obama and help him raise money in the hope that he'll help her. I mean, it's one for one. Some of her folks have maxed out on her, but they could give him money and vice versa. So I think she is sincerely trying out there to help him.
We've got about 2 minutes left, and here's our last topic for you. With the battered economy, poor approval ratings for the sitting Republican president, a Republican candidate not fully embraced by his party, one might think that Barack Obama would be way ahead, but the polls show the race a lot tighter than some people had expected. Why, Robert, do you think the race is so tight?
You know, Tony, it's funny you mentioned that question, or you asked that question, because there's a lot of folks out there that are enamored by Senator Obama's candidacy. They understand exactly why he's running, but they don't understand why he's running. And what I mean by that is that he's charming, he's charismatic, he's good-looking, he's extremely articulate. But what does he really believe? How is he going to help me, who I'm living from paycheck to paycheck? I'm learning English for the first time. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to keep my health care premiums low. Or I'm trying to get health care in the first place. Senator Obama comes across, at least this is what the polling data suggests, as a very thoughtful person who really is very much a charismatic, energizing person. But when it comes to whether or not this person understands my values, understands exactly what I'm going through, there is a credibility gap between Senator Obama and the American people.
And McCain, Robert, let me put this 2 cents in. McCain, as long as he stays within striking distance, which is where he is, he's doing okay. And McCain, even if you disagree with him, I think the difference that shows up in the polling is that people think he's a genuine article, even if they don't agree with him. And so therefore, and that they know him pretty much, they think this. I'm not saying they do. And they see him as this solid guy who they know, whether you're right or wrong, whether you agree or not, and they're not quite sure about Obama with all of his gifts, because by now, I think Obama should win this election in a landslide. But it's if you look at the numbers now and you look at the direction of things, it doesn't look like it's
absolutely
going to happen that way.
Absolutely. At the moment, it does not. This is a good place for us to stop. Good conversation, folks. Mary Frances Berry is a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, joining us from the studios of Morris Creative Services in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And Robert Tranum is the D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Cable Network, CN8. Thank you both.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Tony.